My guest again today is John Duresh of the National Liberty Alliance, and I want to just say thank you to him for making his time available to us. John, are you there, sir?
Yeah, good to see you again, Thumper. Thanks for having us again.
You bet, you bet. So how's your week been?
It's been busy. Yeah. A lot of writing.
Yeah. Yep. So what's new at National Liberty Alliance, or what?
There's always something new, lots of new. Well, a couple of things I'd like to just go through. If you can open up the website, everybody's concerned about this virus, this flu that's going around.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just in the drugstore picking up some stuff, and there was a woman speaking to one of the people behind the counters. She had mentioned, click highlight Q, and come down protecting yourself again from the coronavirus. Anyway, she had mentioned I heard there was like 23 states people sick in, and there's like 8,000 cases or 800 cases or something like that. I tried to correct her, but she said, oh, no, the source she got is good. But if you come down on that page towards the bottom, right underneath the videos, okay, and anybody that's concerned about any flu or any virus or any kind of a pathogen, this will help. But right there, click on to update global cases by John Hopkins. So they've been watching the entire world and keeping a record on what's going on. Up a little bit more, I think. Yeah, up a little bit more. Got to go up.
Oh, okay. There it is. Right there. Yeah. All right.
Right there. Click on that. Now, these are statistics, okay? And I was trying to correct this woman. There's only 8 cases in the United States. If you go off to the left, you'll see the U.S. is 8 cases. As of today, this is updated on a daily basis. When I first started watching this, it was 6, and it went to 7, and today it's 8. But if you go to the far right here where it says total deaths, 305, mm-hmm. okay, scroll all the way down to the bottom on that link there, on that row. And then you'll see the United States is in there. Let's see. No deaths at all. You can count the 8 cases where they're located at. So there's a lot of misreporting going on here, and they're trying to really get a panic. I know the president spoke about this on a couple occasions and said, we've got it under control. We're watching it closely, but it's under control. And we're hearing from other sources. It's just another, game they're playing, trying to get a panic and trying to get this thing moving, of course. But they haven't been too successful on that. They had the SARS and the other things that they've been doing over the years. So, but in any event, anybody that's concerned, there is a cure. MMS, I don't know how many people are familiar with MMS. It kills any known pathogen. So there's no, and viruses are pathogens. They're created, it's caused by pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll kill anything. And if you put it into your lungs properly, and you put it into your stomach properly, and then put it on your skin properly, you bathe in it a couple of drops, and you bathe in it, a hot bath, and you'll kill everything that's on your skin. You'll kill anything in your lungs, anything in your throat, anything in your belly through your bloodstream, and so on. So you can do preventative medicine. Let's say there was a huge outbreak in your area. You can then treat yourself on a daily basis and kill any living thing that attached itself to you while you're out and, running around. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. They might want to read that page and get the details and the information. Matter of fact, go back to the page and you'll find this stuff here that we're talking about that will protect you, okay? It kills just about everything you can think of. Let me see. Viruses are pathogens that cause a range of disease, including chickenpox, the flu, rabies, Ebola, Zika disease, HIV, which is AIDS. Viruses can cause persistent infection, so on and so forth. MMS kills all those things. I learned about this from a doctor friend of mine who was battling, Lyme disease, okay? And he was using conventional ways. He was battling it for 3 years, and he just couldn't kick it. It goes so deep into you, he's telling me. And then he had heard about MMS, which I was a little familiar at the time about it, but he said he went to MMS, used MMS. It took 3 months with MMS, and he killed the Lyme disease, which is a pathogen again. And it was just so deep seated; it took a long time. So sometimes, if you get something really that's been cooking inside of you for a long time, so to speak, and burying itself down deep into your cells, it's going to take a long time to get rid of it. I also heard that it helps with cancer, but I'm not too sure on that.
Now, we had a couple of people out there, John, that are asking, what is MMS?
Well, read up here where you can see it. As a matter of fact, if you go to, go to Reality Check and click on, go to Health Issues, click on Health Issues, and you go to a page, and you'll find things on MMS, Laetril. If people aren't familiar with Laetril, it's vitamin B17. And also,
I eat apricot seeds 4 or 5 a day, and I give them to my dogs.
There you go, and then you should be in good shape. And you can get the vial so you can inject it if you did get cancer into your system. But if you go on that page that I said again, it's under Reality Check. Come down to Health Issues and click on Health Issues. Okay, you're on that page.
Yeah, I've got the MMS kills by oxidation.
Right. So there's a tremendous amount of information here about MMS and also Laetril and where you could buy it. You know, Laetril, which is vitamin B17, I went into a drugstore years ago trying to buy B17. I had heard that it was illegal. But I went into the drugstore and spoke with the druggist, and he was looking for it. He says, I'm surprised. We carry all the vitamins. And actually, he was working in the store, but he went to talk to the pharmacist, and he came back and says, you know, that stuff is illegal. I said, a vitamin illegal? Isn't that strange? He said, yeah, you know, it is kind of strange. So I don't know. Well, they don't want you to know about it because it goes up against all the treatments they have for cancer, you know?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to put up a website that I get my my B17 apricot seed, and they make no claims as to what health benefits, other than general health benefits, of B17, because the mainstream media, or not the mainstream media, but Big Pharma, came out very much against this. When it first came out, they said, oh, it's terrible, it's awful, it's bad for you, because it has the same, if you understand what B17 is and what its active components are, it's the same thing that you will find in apple seeds, in carrots, sesame seeds. It's actually quite common in a lot of foods.
A lot of different grasses, too.
Yes.
They noticed that, cattle over the winter will pick up these, what would you call them, growths, okay, usually on their belly, and they've been found some in cases to be cancerous. But as soon as the grass started growing and they were eating fresh grass, they were out there to go right. I guess they knew exactly what grass to do. Dogs know this, too. They'll go eat a certain grass. They know they're ill. They eat a certain grass. They look for it. And it disappears, you know, throughout the spring. All those growths and everything that they've gotten disappear.
Yep. I order my stuff from this website. You can get these. That's about a 3-pound bag of apricot seeds. They're bitter, but they taste somewhat like an almond. They have the same consistency, the same when you bite into them and chew them up. It's about the same as an almond. They're bitter. But,
and you can get them in capsules if you don't like it. I buy capsules.
Yeah, I give the capsules. You see, one of my dogs is female. She has a brain tumor, and we are actively trying to, save her life by using this. And
2 drops of MMS in their water every day. And just put a little bit of water so that she laps it all up. And then you could still continue with this also.
Yeah.
But, look at All of the idiopathic diseases they have discovered pretty much are caused by pathogens, but they're so deep within us they can't get to it, and they don't have any pharmaceuticals that will all these chemicals and stuff to kill it. Well, MMS will do it, and so they can't do it. What they do is they treat the symptoms and they don't treat the disease, so they don't cure the disease. And but even heart disease, a lot of heart disease is caused by pathogens, and it builds into, your resistance gets lower, especially as you get older, you pull in more problems, and eventually they start to surface. So you could be suffering with problems for years that's been working inside your body, beating you up, and then finally it starts to arise, and you start to see it, and it starts to progress in a quick way. Well, you know, look at what I do is I every once in a while I just go on like a 7-day hit of MMS, you know, put it into my system maybe once a month or something, and you know, just for preventative medicines.
Yeah, what they did is because it does appear to have quite a bit of health benefits, and so they, in order for them to be able to sell it, they had to call it a vitamin. So they named it B17, a vitamin, and then they can sell it in the health food stores. You will find that the websites do not make any claims as to its killing cancer or anything like that, because when they go there, then they get hit on by
the pharmaceutical companies made sure that you couldn't do that. So, of course.
And so, I get the seeds and I take them and I put them in a coffee grinder and grind them up into a, you know, just like coffee grounds.
That's a good idea, yeah.
And I put them in my dog's food. They get it that way. And then she also gets the capsules. She gets 3 of the 100 milligram capsules a day, along with fenbendazole, which is an ingredient that is in over-the-counter parasite treatment for dogs, and that has also been
Are you seeing any results yet? How long have you been doing it?
Well, actually, John, she was. I took her in. She was having seizures. I took her in the very first part of October, and they did a CT scan. The CT scan showed a tumor in her brain that was pretty much taking up close to almost a third of the left side of her brain. Okay, it was a very significant blob that they saw in there. And as fast as it progressed over the summer, and then what we found in October in the CT scan, that dog is outside playing with her puppy, goes on walks, chases the ball, and she's doing extremely well. If she's doing as well in about another month, we're going to go for another CT scan.
Yes.
And see how she's
start
doing.
Some MMS also, you know, it's not going to hurt. You know, if I had cancer or anything, I'd be doing it all.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For a dog, you know, you can't do all that stuff, but you know, that humans would do, because for one, I don't have this major medical policy for her either. And they like to charge you as much for your animals, maybe even more than some of the things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I am throwing everything but the kitchen sink at her. And if I knew that would help, I'd do that too, because she's a 7-year-old, beautiful golden retriever dog. And Russian bot says, yeah, it's Cookie, his dog, and Connie were playing yesterday. And, you know, so I'm, you know, we're trying, you know?
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is pretty cheap, like especially MMS. I mean, go back to the page. I found a place that was very, very reasonable, and they're in glass bottles, and it has the droppers and everything. Really nice. Mm-hmm. I had bought a lot of plastic bottles years ago, and most of them burst over the years, you know, but it isn't glass. They're brown shaded. So, cause you know, it's light sensitive. Mm-hmm. You should keep it in a dark place.
Which page did you want to go to, John?
Well, right there is good. You see, I have different stores there. Now, I don't make any money or any of these things. I just offer these places in order for people to go take a look. But you can buy B17 at these stores. But the MMS, I think, scroll up. Oh, yeah. Buy MMS. Click here. Click on that one there. This is a place where I've been buying my MMS now for years. And it's only $40. It's $20 a bottle for the MMS, and it's $20 for the citric acid, which will give you activate the MMS. So for the two bottles, it's $40. And if you buy more, what I did, I think I bought a half a dozen, you save money. The more you buy, the more money you save. But you're only looking at, I do 7 drops in a shot glass, 7 drops of part A and part B into a shot glass. I buy these gel caps, zero gel caps. I also have a link where to buy that too. I pointed most to Amazon. But these gel caps, you know, you open up and you take your dropper and you pull up the, once you mix 7 drops of each. It's a total of 14 drops. That's exactly what fills up a zero gel cap. And then you put it into this gel cap, put the cap on, and swallow it like any other pill. Mm-hmm. If you can stand the taste, you can put it in water and drink it down. It's horrible taste. The smell is really bad, too. But you get past that. That's why I do the capsule. I also use a nebulizer, and I'll put 1 to 2 drops in my nebulizer with the Sovereign Silver Water and a drop of eucalyptus. And then I'll fill that cup up with the silver water, a little more than half, and then breathe that in. And right now I've been doing it every day for a couple of days. I'll probably go for a week or two with it. Make sure I clean my system out, make sure I have no pathogens in me. And the other thing is you use antibiotics, it kills your flora, it kills a lot of good bacteria, where, you know, MMS doesn't kill good bacteria at all. It doesn't hurt your flora and your belly. So if you're really sick and you've been taking antibiotics for a long time, you've probably lost all the flora in your belly. And you have to replace that. And
probiotics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I think it's 50 billion or something, bacteria. So you got to pump that stuff in. And I take that every day anyway. And I take a probiotic also to make sure, I've got.
One thing that Dead Cat showed me, and take a lemon, squeeze it out, and lemon and turmeric.
Mm-hmm. I was doing that too. Yep.
And drink that. One whole lemon a day like that. And, I actually can see and feel a difference in just how I feel, my energy. And
absolutely. Another one is, what is it? The apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar,
a couple tablespoons of that with a little bit of some kind of a drink to take it down with. No vitamin C, though, because it interferes. Or at least the MMS it interferes. I'm not sure with the apple cider, but anyway, mix that up. I always, once I drink it down, I take a teaspoon of honey, wildflower, honey that, raw and unfiltered, natural, organic. And all those things, mm-hmm. assist you in keeping healthy. But anyway, getting back to other things. We're doing the militia, mm-hmm. we're pumping through on that, and we're doing, we're trying to train and teach people how to take control of the nation. As the Declaration of Independence says, we have government by the consent of the people. Now we have a really strong paper going in, going up against the IRS, which we'll be posting shortly. We've posted it up for the jurist. They'll be coming together in a week or so to make some decisions on some indictments concerning IRS agents and federal judges. But we're laying out the truth of the IRS, and we're going to nail it to the door of the United States Supreme Court, because again, they're to blame for all of this lawful stuff. It's their job to make sure the law of the land stands, and they have not been doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
If the people only understood how far away we are from the Constitution. I have to laugh at these people in power, because all of a sudden now they're all talking about the Constitution. They're talking about mm-hmm. Adams. They're talking about Jefferson. They're talking about all these people that, goodness, Hamilton particularly, because he had a lot to say in putting together. But they're such hypocrites, and they cherry pick. And they may go into the courts on that level. When you get into the level where the three bodies or the three branches of government are arguing, or the two branches, and you go to have the Supreme Court settle it, they do pretty well usually on that. But when you go into the Supreme Court and you're looking for your unalienable rights as an individual, you're going to find you don't have them. You have civil rights, and mm-hmm. you don't have we don't have the law of the land anymore, which used to be law and equity. The United States Supreme Court thinks that they can do away with it by rule, and they did through the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. And so by 1938, they had written all the rules up, and Rule 2 abrogated the law of the land and created civil law. So now under Roman law, which is the same thing as Babylonian law, it's in total rejection and opposition to natural law. And people don't know this, and because they're not educated enough to realize this and know this. You know, they had, I saw something recently, they went back in time, and they had a few people up before Congress that were responsible, one person in charge of the justice system, I forget the person's name. And he was being asked questions, and this other woman also, and they were pleading the Fifth. And how come they don't know that they can't plead the Fifth? Because they have a duty to speak. They've been empowered with certain powers, and once they do that and they sign up, in the sense, by being elected or appointed or whatever the case may be, that you're working for the government, you now fall under the U.S. titles, which govern you, and you must do certain things, and you have a duty to speak. They cannot plead the Fifth Amendment in their duty when they have a duty to speak. And if they should do that because they're guilty of something, then the person underneath that person should, you know, come up and answer the questions that are being asked by Congress or anybody else. But again, you know, they're covering up their guilt, of course.
John, we have a question out here in the chat from Skeeter. He said, would really like to hear your views on the Commerce Clause.
Well, when you the Commerce Clause in the Declaration, or not in the Declaration, in the Constitution. Let me see if I could pull that up real quick. Do you know what article that's in on the Commerce?
Let's see. Isn't that generally...
Well, the Commerce Clause is to make things regular, okay? And not to regulate... Well, huh?
Isn't that the 10th?
Maybe in there. I'll see. The key word to find it would be regular. To make regular between the states. So let me see if I can find it there and we'll read it. Regular or regulate? I'm not sure. Yeah, regular is coming up once. Okay, and a regular statement. Okay, so it must be regulate. L-A-T-E. Okay, it's used twice. Okay, that's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. If you go back into the conversations of the Federalist Papers, and particularly, but also in the Anti-Federalist Papers, they probably cover it also. But the debate that was really out there is really to make sure that things move and that the federal government's job to make sure it moves fluently throughout the states, that commerce moves between nations and between the states, and not to regulate in the sense of, you know, shut down or force it to control the amount. No, they're not to control the amount. They're supposed to make regular. Mm-hmm. And again, that's clear in the debates in the Federalist Papers, which, by the way, you know, our government by consent course under courses up there. In that course, we get a very in-depth study and look at the Constitution. We look at the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, which is the capstone to the Constitution. So the Declaration is the foundation. The Constitution is the framework, and the Bill of Rights is the capstone. And everything in our founding documents is to be read in light of the Bill of Rights. So anything that is repugnant to any of our unalienable rights, which extends further than, of course, the 10 stated, anything that's repugnant to that Bill of Rights is null and void. So if someone tries to interpret something in the Constitution which would violate our rights, like all these people trying to get gun control across the nation, you know, anything that would affect our unalienable rights is null and void. Any legislation that is written that is in violation of that is null and void. And, of course, anything that's written that's in violation of any part of the Constitution or the Declaration, the law of the land. And if you go into, I think it's Article 3, I'm not sure what section, it talks about the law of the land. Let me see if I can get to that pretty quick. Okay. Here it is. Article 3. Section 2, it says the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law, if you go into Black's Law or any place in any, you go Brovier's Law, any place you go, in law, at law means common law. As a matter of fact, there is only one law, true law, and that is common law. Anything else is really statutes, which would be codes and statutes. It's all sometimes referred to as positive law. and positive law is law made by man. We have equity, and equity is the statutes, the codes that were written by, the Congress, mm-hmm. Which becomes law. There are 57 different titles, and it becomes law to control government and to control commercial activity. It has nothing to do with we the people, but that's its purpose. Okay, is to control that whole process, and that is called equity. And equity ties in common law to that. In other words, you have to use the common law principles, the common law rules, in order to apply and interpret anything within equity. Now, what they had done in Rule 2, the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, of course, it was the Bar Association that orchestrated all this. Mm-hmm. But back in 1934's Enabling Act, the United States Supreme Court, then working with the Bar Association, abrogated the law of the land. And they just say they abrogated common law. And now common law is our documents, our common law. Matter of fact, the United States Supreme Court has ruled you can't understand our founding documents unless you appreciate it inside of common law. Because it's a common law document. We ordained and established, we being the king, and then we go into the Declaration of Independence. We received the power and the authority to create our own government, have government by consent, and we're under the law of God, and we've placed our government under the law of we the people, and it's called the Constitution for the United States of America. And they have to be obedient to that. Well, even Congress, by law, by statute, can't abrogate the common law. They can't abrogate law and equity and replace it with civil law. But the United States Supreme Court did, and they still hold it up. And you go into their courts, you're underneath that rule too. And that's what we're battling right now. And people need to understand these things, because if you don't understand the fight and the battle and what's going on and what we need to do to achieve true liberty back in this nation again, you have to be understanding. You have to be understanding of our Constitution and our founding fathers, who they are, what our heritage is, where we founded. Jefferson founded this going back to 1600 BC when Israel came out of Egypt, and the law was established with Moses. Therein is the beginning of common law coming to the people, and the United States is only the second time in world history that a true common law has been set in place, unadulterated by a king. And England was close, but they had a king, and the king went corrupt, and that's the problem. George Washington was asked to, they tried to make him king, and he refused the crown, and he was elected president, of course. And so we have kept our focus on our nation as a common law nation. But of course, there's been a conspiracy since the beginning, going all the way back to 1776, and even before that. But there's been a conspiracy to destroy our Constitution, to destroy our law. And as Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, you're expecting what never was and never, ever will be. So if people want to be free and they want to be empowered, they need to come and learn. And they have to have what's called a proper education. And I've been looking for a proper education for many, many years. And that's why one of the things we here at National Liberty Alliance is we put together a proper education, focusing in on our heritage, the debates and the decisions on, why do we do things this way or that way? The 17th Amendment, for instance, the 17th Amendment took away the authority of the states to be represented in Congress in the federal government. And once they removed that power from the states and gave it to the people, who already had power, they already had representation, but the states needed representation. If you go and read through and study the Federalist Papers, they were hammering out a structure for a balance of power. And you cannot change that balance of power, because that is the foundation of our government. And so you can't remove the state's authority to participate in decisions and having that vote in Congress, in the federal level, when they make law. They have to have that power and authority. So The states have a right to be represented, and they no longer are. The people have a right to be represented, and they no longer are, because of the political processes that we have, the politicking, the politics. You know, we send these people to Washington, and we expect them to represent us. Instead, they take a bribe from the special interest groups, and they represent them. And then they keep lying to us. And that's why Trump is so refreshing to so many people, and he's become so popular, because the people are seeing that very thing. He's not a politician.
By the way, we've got somebody asking about, I believe there is an effort to in Utah to rein in one of their senators, I believe. Yeah, I think you probably know which one. Yeah. Do you have any comments or information on that, John?
Well, I don't have any details other than the fact that he's not one of us. Clearly, he never has been. But I don't know any more than anyone else. I don't know what the process is. It looks like it's interesting because it looks like they're trying to do legislation to pull them back, that the legislators are trying to do something. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I thought I heard. You know, to do a recall is a very, very, hard thing to do. We could do it if we control the committeeman process. And again, that's what we're trying to teach people, to take power on the grassroots level, control the political process by becoming committeemen. And now the committeemen can easily recall anyone because they've got the numbers of people. You know, you come together in a meeting and you say, okay, let's decide on this, the recall, and you decide on the recall, and whatever the districts are in, in this case, it's the senatorial district, but he's a Senate, so it should be through the state. But even though it's through the people, that state can come together, and it's a percentage. I think you have to get signatures, 10% maybe. I don't remember exactly. I did a paper on this recently, but I think it's 10% of the number of people of votes that were cast in that election. So let's say there was 100,000 votes cast altogether. Then you have to have 10% of that 100,000 in signatures. And committeemen can easily go out and get that. You know, they'll go out and get 20 apiece, and they got it. Pop. Once they apply it, then it has to be done within a 90-day period. And I don't know that we can be held to that. That could be statutory. Matter of fact, I'm sure it is. We're under common law. But the way they planned it is, you file for the potential recall. And then once you file for that recall, you have 90 days to gather enough signatures, which is very, very difficult to do. But again, if you're the committeeman, you could do it in a week, On a weekend, people go out and get their 20, 30 signatures, whatever is required for each committeeman in order to achieve their numbers, and then come together and then file it. So you have to be filed within 90 days. Once it's filed and accepted, there is a state we're looking at. It was Virginia, because we're looking to help people in Virginia to do a recall, or the governor. And we discovered in Virginia, once you do a recall and you go through all that work, all of a sudden the Supreme Court has to agree to it. Now that's hogwash. That's BS. Mm. How are they going to trump the people? We're the people, okay? And they should fight that and ignore that. And I wouldn't even file it with them. I'd file it and then sue them in federal court to make it go through. But in any event, most other states, I'm not aware of any other state that does that, but I'm sure there might be. So Virginia does it. New York doesn't. New York will tell you can't have recall because we don't have statutes for recall. Well, guess what? We're the people. We'll make up statutes. We don't need statutes. We got the law, and we have the right to adjust our government at any given time. And when they start doing the wrong thing and we want to repair it, we can repair it. And let me just read this out of the Declaration of Independence. I'll read it. It's a paragraph. I'll read most of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So we wrote the papers. We wrote the law, Constitution, Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. And we secure that in our consent through the committeeman process and the jurors process. And if we're not participating in those two things, then we're not consenting. They're doing whatever they want. Anyway, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, and this is the key, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So, you see, the United States Supreme Court, or any state Supreme Court, let's say, or the United States Supreme Court, we are above that court. As a matter of fact, our whole court case that we have filed 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, we made that point clear, you know. And right now, we're up against the United States Supreme Court. And we're filing orders, decisions, and orders telling them what they need to do because they need to obey us. Now we're filing writ quorantos. We filed one in the very beginning of our court case, and now we're filing two more right now, one on the IRS issue, one on the Second Amendment issue, and there's others that we're going to be filing over the next weeks.
Now, the question is, okay, you're coming up against these federal courts, the federal Supreme Court. And, most people's perception of all these, they are the final arbiter. And so what we need to do is we need to educate.
Yeah, but that's only an equity. Remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a point. And that's the whole reason for the reason for educating people on the power that we, the people, put and granted to a certain number of enumerated powers that these governments, this government that we instituted, we gave authority to with these restrictions. And somehow they have twisted it and flipped it back on us, saying, no, we are in power. And so we really need a complete change of viewpoint by the common everyday citizen of this
country.
They
need to be educated.
Yes.
People fell asleep. They've been dazzled, you know, especially in the past 100 years or so. You have radio and TV that have come up, and you have movies, and things are more accessible.
Well, I understand today there's this big bedazzling event that's going on just today. So, and they think about it. The billions, I mean, literally billions of dollars over the years that they've spent on days like today and, the big race that's coming up here in a couple of weeks, the amount of money that's spent on that for just the sheer spectacle of it. And look at the spectacle they've created out of our government. You know, if they were really telling the truth, people would be more apt to tune in and look at the spectacle that they've created out of our government than these, the event that's going to be happening a little bit later today.
Well, picture how it would be, okay, if there was no politics. Mm-hmm. Political process is there. That's a necessity, and we should learn that and understand what that means. But getting into the politics, which is all about lying and, you know, one group trying to get an edge over another group and pushing the things this way and that way, you know, conservative or liberal, so on. And so all that, okay, can disappear. What would the world be like? What would this nation be like if that wasn't there? Okay, what would this nation be like if government was obedient to the people because they feared the people? Well, what would government be like if they couldn't get away with trying, for instance, the United States Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade, if the people understood their heritage and their founding documents? That never would have went through. The United States Supreme Court had no power, no authority to make a ruling on Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Okay, now they have the United States Supreme Court has authority and power over, you know, the highest level over equity. Which anything that falls under the 57 U.S. titles that we gave them the authority to make law on, they get to rule and decide what that means, okay, and to apply it. But when it comes to law, okay, that's the people's courts. That's where 12 jurists come together. They make the decision. And the person presiding over that court case is just like a traffic cop. You know, the magistrates, they have no power, no authority to judge or make any kind of a judgment. They only stamp the, you know, whatever the tribunal decides, which is the people, okay, once they make a decision, it's written on paper and it's sealed, and a signature goes onto it, and it goes out to the order to be executed. Okay, and that's the furthest authority or any kind of a connection that any government judge or anybody has in a court of law. They have no place there. And since Roe versus Wade, for instance, since that legalized abortion, it legalized murder. They came into God's territory. That falls under common law. They stepped on his toes. They spit in his face. And that's why we've been cursed, by the way, between slavery and abortion. That's why we're going through all of these problems over the past 50 to 100 years and maybe more.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, now that hopefully the people are stepping up, bring us back under the law and to stop all this nonsense. So, you know, again, they don't have the power and the authority to really do that. But they get away with it because people are ignorant to it. They don't know their heritage. They don't know their constitution. And if you want to learn it, come to nationallibertyalliance.org. Take our government by consent course. And I promise you, when you get through that, you will be blown away by the power and the knowledge that you will have. Even if you don't remember most of it, you don't have to be able to articulate it. You just have to understand it, and it becomes part of you because you know what your rights are, because it's all about your rights. It's all about we, the people, ordaining and establishing this government, okay, and putting them underneath our thumb. But they have us under their thumb, and we have to turn that around. But it's never going to happen unless the people get educated.
They are not a government unless they have us behind them.
That's correct. Well, they could be a rogue government. Well, you know, look at, well, you have other republics, okay? The question is, they're unlawful republics, unlawful worldwide in the sense with God as the law of all things, you know, the creator. All law that is not approved by the people or under the authority of God, okay, is no law at all. It's rogue. So you have all these other republics where the government themselves wrote their constitution, not the people. And the people aren't free. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, we're under, you know, we've been enslaved. You know, we pay slave tax all the time. You pay the IRS constantly. You pay your home to tax on home, and you know all these taxes that are unconstitutional. I mean, they're all lawful taxes, but these taxes, when you have to pay tax on your home or you lose it, you don't own your home. You have to pay tax on your labor. Or you lose your freedom, your liberty. You don't own your body. You don't own your labor. And but people, they're getting away with it. Why? Because people are ignorant.
Because people are not aware of their own power. Clear.
Direct tax is not permitted. Period. End of subject. Absolutely. Nothing else to talk about.
And that's why, and I've got it up on screen here. This is the course table of contents, consent by government by consent, our constitution, common law versus civil law, right of governance, self-governance, the rule of law, seditious conspiracy, the systematic destruction of America. You're going to learn a bit of some of that. Non-judicial foreclosure, standing, solution, the law, sovereignty, self-evident truth, republic, law and equity, natural law, author of law, rudimental precepts, jurisdiction, courts, United States codes, statutes, codes, and regulations. Otherwise, I like to call those the bylaws of the corporation, actually.
Well, they got their own bylaws, but look at, you know, we're not a corporation. The United States should never be a corporation. It's a trust to begin with. It's a government trust, and it's entrusted. You know, they hold, you read about it, you hold an office of trust, okay, because it's part of a trust.
Right.
And we don't need papers to establish that. We establish that with the Declaration of Independence and then the Constitution with its capstone Bill of Rights. And that laid out the powers and the authorities and made it clear on who and what we are. Mm-hmm. And they are to be obedient to that. But they are not. They are not. You go into anybody who hasn't been in the courts, they don't understand this. They don't know that. If you're going up against the government, you're going up against any government official or agency, you go up against major corporations, the pharmaceutical companies, any of those things, you can 100% guarantee you're going to lose. Very rarely does anyone get through there, and it's usually because it made too much press maybe and some lawyer and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, you're not getting through anything. And because they got total control, they're all maintaining status quo. All these judges maintain status quo in the courts, and I had a judge tell me that, you know, that I didn't have a certain right. I said, wait a second, you know, I read the United States Supreme Court ruling on this, which you are governed by the way, Judge, and you're telling me you're overruling them? It's, oh, no, I'm not overruling them, but you still can't exercise that power here in this court. And I saw, I was starting to argue with him, and I started to see he was getting a little steam, so figured I didn't want to.
They hate getting caught in their lies.
Oh, yeah.
It's very embarrassing.
Well, today I even know more. I wish I knew what I know now then, because I'd be talking about Rule 2 and how he is really, they're guilty of treason, subversion mm-hmm. against the United States, subversion of law.
Yeah.
And again, our next paper that we're writing right now is going to be very powerful. The IRS paper we've written, it'll be released probably in about 2 weeks. People should be keeping an eye on it. Anybody that's a member and is part of the juris system, they can get in and read the paper, because attached to that is all the evidence which we're going to use for, we're looking for, you know, to have some, what do you call it? Goodness, why can't I think of a word? Indictments.
Okay? Right.
We're looking to have some indictments. And so we'll be filing that paper probably in about a week and a half, 2 weeks max. And it's a very powerful paper. Anybody that's caught up with the IRS, you need to read the paper once we file it. And the same thing with the gun issue. You know, look at we've already indicted the governor of Virginia down there already. Mm-hmm. And we're going to lay out the law to these people. And we're going to promise indictments for all these people that violate it. When someone uses their office, when they come into elective office or they are appointed to an office and they raise their hand and they swear to uphold and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, their personal views go out the door. That's it. They're out the window. It had nothing to do. They have to uphold the law, even above their own personal views. But when they come into office and they use that power and that authority, that position, that office as a platform, in order to destroy our right to bear arms, okay? Now they have just committed treason. At that point in time, they have committed treason. They need to be removed from office. But the people are too blind to see that that's the law. So we have to educate the people, and the grassroots needs to move on this, take power, take authority, and bring ourselves up and get rid of these people. And Trump is helping us. There are a lot of things out there going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there definitely is. All right. Well, we're getting to the top of the hour here, and we've got Classic Lady and Susan Pixels standing by. And I thought we'd end today's little show with a little Trump train. And I want to say thank you to John for joining us again today.
Appreciate the time and Godspeed. Yeah.
And John, you and I, we need to have a phone call or something between you and I. And
Francine's trying to set that up.
Yeah, Francine's trying to get some things going there, and I just wanted to talk with you and Brent. And so let's do a conversation here in the next couple of days, or
absolutely
as soon as possible. Actually, see what we can work out.
All right, sounds good.
All righty, sir. Thank you. You have a great rest of your day.